Hello, welcome back to TL Talks Podcast. I am TL, and as you know, we start every podcast with TL's thought of the day. This week, my thought of the day is kind of twofold. The first thing is my favorite button on Facebook, which is a button called unfollow. And so I want to clue you guys in. Some people don't even know that there is a button called unfollow, but there is, and it's fucking great. So the reason I'm bringing that up is because I used to have a lot of Facebook friends, and I was, let me just start from the beginning. So when you are Facebook friends with somebody, you're automatically quote unquote following them, which means you're going to see their post on your feed when they post. I've always had quite a few Facebook friends because I've met a lot of people over the years in different places. And so, I just know a lot of people. So I used to quote unquote follow everybody and see all of their posts. But over the years, I started realizing that a lot of these quote unquote friends that I had, which some people are people I've never met, some people are acquaintances, some people are, you know, friends from a long time ago, all different types of people. But I noticed that some people, the way that they use their Facebook, things that they post, they didn't jive with me. You know what I mean? Whether it be, you know, something hateful or something offensive, you know, whatever it is, I just didn't really appreciate, you know, how they posted. So I stumbled upon the unfollow button, and basically what that does is all it does is you're still Facebook friends with them, but you don't see their posts anymore. And so if this person is posting something that offends you, or they're always race baiting, or, you know, whatever it is, you just don't appreciate their posts. Basically, you don't want to see them. You no longer will, unless you change that for some reason and follow them again. So the reason I bring that up is because I've found out that you could unfollow people years ago. And it's done me a world of good, to be honest with you. Unfollowing somebody is good for your mental health in some cases. It's kind of a victimless crime because you unfollow them, you don't see their crap anymore, but they never know the difference. So there's not going to be any, you know, awkwardness or confrontation with them because they'll never know. And so it's really a win-win, in my opinion. If you have somebody on your Facebook that they post a lot, probably, or when they post, it's always something negative or, you know, race baiting or, you know, whatever it is. Everybody's different. Different things set off different people. But if that's the case, I would strongly recommend that you unfollow them. It's just going to be better for your mental health, better for your sanity. Like I said, it's a win-win, and they'll never know the difference. And so I strongly suggest it. My second part of my thought of the day is called an inventory. So what I would like to encourage everybody to do, and this is what I try to do in my own life, is take an inventory of everybody in your life. So that could be, you know, coworkers, family, friends, you know, friends that you see in person, friends you don't see in person, just everybody pretty much you interact with on a daily basis, or even a weekly basis, you know, just pretty much people that you see. My point is people that you see consistently, right? Not somebody you're going to see once a year, because if I don't get along with, you know, a family member, but I only see him once a year, it's not that big of a deal to, you know, keep things civil when you don't see him very often. But if you see that person every day, obviously it could be more of a problem. So when I say inventory, what I mean is I would encourage people to take an inventory of who's in your life and then take a really honest look at it and say, is this person bringing anything positive to my life? You know what I mean? Like, are they, first of all, are they even a positive person? Some people are negative ass people. And let me tell you, that shit is draining. It will drain your energy. Energy is contagious. I mean, shit, man. like, really, we need to protect our energy. You know what I'm saying? Like, energy is contagious. It's a valuable thing. We only get 24 hours in a day. And so it's really important, honestly. I mean, if you have good energy, you're a positive person, and you're around a few negative people, and they kind of, you know, bring you down a little bit. Now, you know, you being positive to the next person, it might not happen because those people brought you down. So I think people, it goes back to something I've said in the past. People kind of just are on cruise control in life, and they just do what they do, and they act the way they act, and they don't think that much matters. But it does matter. How you treat people matters. If you're negative or positive, that matters. I mean, it's all a domino effect. And so I think people take that pretty lightly, and they shouldn't. And so just recently, you know, I have a pretty good circle of friends that, you know, I can consult with and talk with on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, I'm thankful for most people in my life, but, you know, I'd be lying if I didn't say that, you know, there's some people in my life that are, you know, negative. And, you know, it's not cool. Yeah. And I think a really good example of that was, I had noticed some negative people in my life. And then I called my buddy, Ryan from back home, and had a quick conversation with him. Cause I had a rough day. I think it was on Wednesday. Had a rough day. Just a lot of annoying things happened in the same day. And it was just kind of a lot to deal with for one day. So I was kind of in a funk, which I'm sure you guys can relate to. Just a lot of shitty things happen in one day, and it's kind of hard to shake it off. So I called him because he really gives good advice, to be honest. And I said, hey man, when you've had a, you know, shitty day, and your mood's kind of off, what do you do to kind of reset yourself? And he gave me some pretty practical advice about looking at asking yourself questions about, you know, if you're angry or you're tired or you're hungry, some of your basic needs. And then kind of starting there, because a lot of times there's like four different basic needs that need to be met. And if they're not met, they can, you know, throw off your whole day or throw off your whole mood. Well, anyways, when I talked to Ryan, you know, we talked for maybe about an hour or so, and I got off the phone, and I love talking to that guy because not only does he give good advice, but he's just a positive person. He's a straight shooter, and I can really, you know, jive with him as far as, you know, just his energy. His energy's, you know, it's positive, it's encouraging, it's constructive. You know what I mean? It's all the things you really need in a real friend. So the correlation there is, when I got off the phone with Ryan, I was in a good mood, which I usually am. I was in a good mood. I, you know, had my creative juices flowing because he's a smart guy, and you know, I felt a little bit inspired. I felt more creative. I was in a better mood than I was when I started talking to him. So the point of the story is that when I talked to Ryan, I was in a good mood after I talked to him, and he brought nothing but positive to the conversation. Now, with other people in my life, that's not always the case. So if somebody's being negative all the time, I would encourage you to do an inventory of that and be honest with yourself. And if, you know, they're not bringing anything positive to your life, or they tend to be negative, you know, in some cases you might need to spend less time with them or talk to them less. Maybe you need to cut them out of your life completely. I mean, only you know the answer to that, but it needs to be addressed, is my point. Like I said, these things are a big deal. Your energy matters, because you're going to affect other people's energy. And so it's just a ripple effect. You know what I mean? And so who we spend our time with, and who we, you know, basically subject ourselves to, we should be mindful of that. I mean, not everybody, the fact is not everybody necessarily deserves to have your time. You know what I mean? Like, not everybody's going to be on your level. Not everybody's going to jive with you. Not everybody's going to be, you know, be on the same wavelength or have the same perspective in life. And that's fine. We're all different. We're all built different. We're all from different places. And, you know, that's just reality of the world. But, like I said, you know, I think there's a lot of wisdom in being mindful of who's in your life and how they're affecting you positively or negatively. And so I would encourage you, you know, pretty consistently, maybe once a month or maybe once every few months, to do a true inventory of who you have in your life and what they're bringing to the table. And so I'm not saying that it's all about me and what can you do for me. I'm saying, you know, some people are positive people and they bring a lot to your life, and other people aren't. Other people will suck the life out of you. They're negative about everything. They're always going to complain. You know, it's always crisis mode. I mean, that stuff is just, it's not good, man. It's going to drain you. It could drain your pockets, drain your energy, suck your soul. I mean, it's just not good. So yeah, that's it. That's all I got for the, sorry if that was as a rant, but those two things I do feel very strongly about. Unfollowing people on Facebook can be a mental health lifesaver, and having inventory just of the people in your life to see if things should be adjusted. You know, it's a really good idea. And my last point of that whole thing before I move on, when I say inventory, you know, and spending less time with somebody or cutting them out of your life, if you think about it, the only people that you can't cut out of your life, I mean, in my opinion, is your kids. Like, if you have a human child, like, I just have a dog, you know, so he's not just a dog. I think dogs are better than humans, but if you have a human child, that child is yours, and you have legal, you know, responsibility to take care of that child until they turn 18. So you could say that kid's your kid and you need to take care of them until they're 18. And then you can make the argument that they're on their own after that. But outside of that, man, everybody else is up for debate, honestly. And I know that sounds sad because, you know, people are married. You're not supposed to just, you know, ditch your marriage or get divorced that easily. But, you know, everybody else shouldn't just be like signed off. When I hear people say stuff like, yeah, you know, like my dad's a piece of shit, but he's my dad, you know, it is what it is. Well, I mean, you know, if you have a family member, whether it be a dad or a mom or a brother or a sister, you know, cousin, whatever, doesn't matter who it is. And they're like not a good person, you know, they're not bringing anything positive to your life. I mean, I can appreciate that people feel very strongly about family members, you know, like blood is thicker than water, stuff like that, and they should stick with them through thick and thin. That's fine. But after a while, man, if that person is doing nothing but negative stuff and bringing nothing positive to your life and doing nothing but stressing you out, like, when is enough enough? You know what I'm saying? Like, at a certain point, you have to stick up for yourself and say, okay, you know, it sucks that it's this way. I wish it wasn't this way, but the fact is, you know, it's probably better if this person isn't in my life anymore. Or maybe they're just not in my life as much. You know what I mean? Like, you know the answer to that. But yeah, I mean, just saying that because somebody's your family member, they should be in your life. No, I respectfully disagree. I mean, in a perfect world, everybody in your family would be, you know, good people and, you know, at like commendable, respectable people that that you want in your life and are positive people. But it's just not the case, man. It's not the world we live in. It's not realistic. And so I think people should be treated accordingly. You know what I mean? Everybody should be held to a standard. They should be held accountable for what they do. And yeah, that's it. So sorry, I did rant, but whatever. We'll move on. Okay, so let's talk football before I get into my guest. My guest this week is a little bit different. She's actually the first active player in women's tackle football. The other people I've interviewed have been, you know, coaches and owners and stuff like that that used to play, you know, but don't play currently. But this actually is a current player. Her name is Devin Walker. She is a superstar wide receiver that plays for a team called the Southern Oregon Lady Gades. Gades is short for Renegades. And so I actually had the pleasure of coaching her years ago in an All-American game. And she's a baller, man. She's a awesome player on the field, an awesome person off the field. And so it was a really cool interview. But yeah, you guys will enjoy that. But yeah, before we get into the interview, let's talk football. So love to start with my Browns. this is going to be fun. So as you know by now, my Browns were going into week 4, 1-2, going to Baltimore to play Baltimore in, you know, in Baltimore. They're 2-1, we're in 2. But the interesting thing is, if we can pull off a win, we actually go, move into first place in the AFC North, because the Steelers and the Bengals are both sucking. And, you know, we win, we're both 2-2, and we get the tiebreaker because we beat Baltimore. So I watched that game, and the first thing I want to say is I was not right about how that game was going to go, because as you guys remember, I said if Denzel Ward doesn't play, makes me a little bit nervous. I think the Browns still can win if Denzel Ward doesn't play, but I think it'll be pretty close because they're a tough team. Well, much to my surprise and delight, it was not a close game. My Brownies went into Baltimore and whipped that ass. That game was something else. Basically, the final score was 40-25. We played awesome. Denzel Ward didn't play. Greedy Williams didn't play. We had several starters out again, and we just balled the fuck out. It was probably one of the most gratifying wins that I've had as a Browns fan in my life, and I've watched a shitload of Browns games. We just whipped their ass for 4 quarters. It was awesome. I mean, you know, Earl Thomas went to the media saying that, you know, he's tired of hearing the hype around the Browns and Baker Mayfield. He Nick Chubb had like a 88-yard TD run, and literally, like, as Nick Chubb hit the second level of players, Earl Thomas like stopped running, just stopped chasing him. And I was like, did that really just happen? Was there a defender that kind of had a good angle and he just like stopped trying? And they interviewed Earl Thomas after the game, and he said, yeah, I pulled my hamstring years ago when I was chasing DeAndre Hopkins, so that's what, I wasn't going to hurt myself again. I'm like, what? Wait a minute. You had an injury years ago, and so now you're not going to try when somebody's running away from you? Like, what, dude? You're getting paid millions of dollars. Get the fuck out of here. So that shit was weak sauce for sure. But, yeah, just the summary of the game is Baker played solid. He had one touchdown and one pick. The one pick was pretty much his only mistake, in my opinion. It was a quick RPO play, and he threw it low. But I think it was actually Jarvis that didn't really fight for the ball. And so it kind of made it for an easy pick for the cornerback. And so, but besides that, Baker played awesome. I think he ended up like 10 or 20 for 30 with a touchdown and a pick. So really good completion percentage. So I was really proud of him for playing that well in Baltimore. He only got sacked once all game. Going into that game, I believe Baltimore had the number one offense in the NFL, number one rushing offense in the NFL, and I want to say they had the best rush defense in the NFL. So I'm like, okay, that's going to be tough. Well, guess what, folks? It wasn't. My Browns bullied the bully. So the Ravens are known for playing old school football, running the ball down your throat and playing great defense. And the Browns did that on Sunday. So, yeah, I mean, we just straight up whipped their ass, man. Man to man. Pushed him around on the line of scrimmage. Nick Chubb ran amok. That boy had like, I don't know, 185 yards or something crazy rushing. So he blew up. Jarvis Landry had an awesome game. I think, I don't know how many catches he had, but he had like 175 yards or something absurd. He played his ass off. He ran this one play that was super cool, creative play by Kitchens, where they got like kind of a reverse type play, and then he actually had like an option to pitch the ball to Odell Beckham or keep it. And so he was smooth with it and kind of faked the pitch and then kept it, and ended up getting all the way down like the 5-yard line. And so That brings me to my next point, Odell Beckham Jr. So a lot of people are going to look at the stats of that game and say, oh, Odell Beckham had, you know, two catches for 20 yards. That's kind of a disappointment. Or maybe he, you know, Marlon Humphrey locked him up for the game. Not so much. Here's the truth. All of you naive football fans that don't watch the games and don't really see the whole big picture. Odell Beckham balled his ass off on Sunday. He was getting Marlon Humphrey frustrated the whole game. He drew two penalties from the Baltimore defense. Like, the Baltimore defense had to hold him because he was, you know, going to get a big catch for a first down. He blocked his ass off on run plays. He blocked his ass off when Jarvis had the ball. I mean, trust me, he balled his ass off. So just because he had two catches for 20 yards, don't think that was a bad game or he wasn't trying or somebody locked him down, because that was far from the truth. The dude was disruptive the whole game, and sometimes it doesn't always show up on the stat sheet. So that's my two cents on Beckham. Offensive line did work against the Ravens defensive line. Like I said, Chubb had a great game. We actually had Seals Jones, who's our backup tight end, who had a real nice game. He had, I think, three catches for a decent amount of yards and a touchdown. So that's pretty encouraging, too, because Njoku's out right now, and Seals Jones is a big tight end. He used to play wide receiver. And so that's really encouraging, you know, to have Baker as having that option to throw to from the tight end spot. Our defense played awesome. In my opinion, we gave up 18 points, even though the score was 40-25. The last touchdown they scored was in garbage time with less than a minute left on the left sideline. So it is what it is. I don't really count that one. But, yeah, we gave up 18 points to the quote-unquote number one offense in the NFL. And that was without Kirksey, without Morgan Burnett, Denzel Ward, and Greedy Williams. So, I mean, a lot of things to be excited about. So, yeah, Browns whipped that ass. It was great. It was very, very gratifying. I had to hear all these Ravens fans talking shit before the game about how they're going to smack us around at home. And it just didn't, man. They just didn't. Freddie Kitchens, I mean, our offense was clicking. We finally – I think the last two things I want to say before I move on, I love the Browns, so it's hard to stop talking about them. The first thing would be – that our offense was finally clicking, and we were starting to call creative plays like Kitchens did last year, and it was fun to watch. And that was cool to see for the first time this year. But secondly, what was also gratifying for me was, if you guys remember in the first podcast when I had Chris Cola on, who's a employee for the Browns, we talked about, you know, expectations this year and what I thought the Browns could do, and, you know, he talked about what he thought they would do. And what I said the Browns were going to do was exactly what they did on Sunday. So granted, it took them 4 weeks to put it together, but they did exactly what I thought they were going to do. It just took them 4 weeks. So as far as, you know, scoring 30-plus points, check. As far as playing really good defense, check. You know, as far as being, you know, the best team in the AFC North, check. I mean, just – all the stuff is coming together, and it's just awesome to see. You know what I mean? When you've been rooting for a bad team for as long as I have, to finally watch them play good football, you know, and have these good players, and the culture's all good, it's just a joy. So, and a little side note, I bought two tickets to the game in Cleveland against the Baltimore Ravens for the rematch. And so when I'm home for Christmas, I'm actually going to be at that game. I bought, I think I got the first row of the dog pound, actually. So me and my boy Jeremiah will be front row for that one. So that'll be a blast, man. I'm not sure, you know, how the records will be, but I'm sure that'll be an important game for playoff seating and stuff like that. And so it's really cool that I'll actually be there in person, because usually when I go home for Christmas, the timing doesn't match up, and so it doesn't usually work out. But this year it did. So those tickets costed me a pretty penny, but, you know, how often are the Browns this good? So, and money isn't real, so fuck it. All right, moving on. Ohio State played Nebraska on Saturday. they whooped that ass as well. There's a recurring theme this year with my my team's this week, I should say, not this year. But yeah, for Ohio State, it is a recurring theme. So they played Nebraska. That was supposed to be more of a competitive game. Wasn't. They won 48-7, complete domination. Nebraska was lucky even score once. So they're on a different level. We made their quarterback look bewildered the whole game. He threw, several picks. That Okuda guy we have at cornerback, he's probably a top five pick. He's ridiculously talented. I think he had two picks. One of them was like a tip ball that fell in his hands as he was laying on the ground, which is kind of lucky, but still it was not an easy catch. But yeah, I mean, Ohio State's really making, making a case for not only being a playoff team, but being a serious title contender this year. And so it's going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out, because I don't see them. After Wisconsin only beat Northwestern by 9, I no longer consider Wisconsin, I wouldn't say not a threat, because of course anybody can beat anybody on any Saturday, but that score wasn't impressive to me. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if you're going to be up to where Ohio State's at, you're not going to beat Northwestern by 9. You know what I mean? That's not maybe I'm being too arrogant about being an Ohio State fan, but that score tells me that Wisconsin isn't ready yet. They're not ready to be the king of the hill in the Big Ten. So that's just my 2 cents. Last thing is fantasy before I get into my interview. So fantasy football, I have a little spreadsheet here. Let me bring it up. So in fantasy football for this week for pickups, I actually have no running backs because they're all taken. We're going to skip that. But for quarterbacks, I have Matt Stafford, Jacoby Brissett, and Joe Flacco. Stafford's been consistently putting up good stats. Brissett's also put up good stats, even when they lost. And Flacco, he's the kind of most flaky one out of the bunch. He'll give you 0 touchdowns and 1 pick. But he also will throw, 3 touchdowns with no picks or 3 touchdowns and 1 pick. So depending on who he's playing, Flacco could be just like a 1 week fill in, especially if you have a bye week for your quarterback. Moving on to receivers. My receivers for this week are Cole Beasley, John Brown, DJ Chark, Cortland Sutton, and Tate from Cincinnati. So yeah, those guys are all guys that get pretty good targets. I would say that okay, so Tate from Cincinnati. Then my last one is actually Callaway for the Browns. So the only reason, let me put a little asterisk, Tate from Cincinnati and Callaway from the Browns. Tate is a good play because John Ross is out for I think a few weeks, and so Tate's going to get those targets, like very likely that he'll get those targets. And so that's kind of a no-brainer. Then also Callaway, because Callaway's coming back from his suspension this week, and it's looking like right now, unfortunately, we're not going to have Jarvis Landry because of a concussion on Monday night against the 49ers. And so that's why Callaway becomes, feasible, because he's going to be next up in line with Jarvis out. Tight ends is going to be Seals Jones from the Browns. He showed some ability, and so I don't think that'll stop. And then also Benjamin Watson is coming back from suspension for the Patriots at tight end. So he's a decent pickup as well. 3 defenses I would highlight for this week is the Patriots, Eagles, and Chargers. Patriots are playing the Redskins. Redskins are horrible. Eagles are playing the Jets. Jets are horrible. And Chargers are playing the Broncos. Broncos aren't very good. And Chargers defense is pretty solid. Defensive players are Walker and Wilson from Detroit, Whitehead from Oakland. The reason Whitehead from Oakland is a good pickup is because Vontaze Burfict is suspended for the year. Thompson from Carolina, Cunningham from Houston, Hicks from Arizona, and Vander Esch from the Cowboys. So those are my fantasy football pickups. And before I bring on my guest, the last thing I would say is a little preview for the next Browns game. So the Browns are playing the 49ers on Monday Night Football. 49ers are one of three teams that are still undefeated. And so it's going to be a good one. 49ers are a good team. Obviously, it being in San Francisco is going to be tough, but I got good news for you. My Browns are going to win that game for several reasons, but I've already talked a lot of Browns, so I don't want to bore you. In my opinion, worst case scenario, the Browns win that game 24-20, but they have the ability to win it by multiple touchdowns, like 14 points. I have no problem with the 49ers. I think they're a good team. I think, you know, they have good running backs, good line, nice defensive line. They have a whole bunch of defensive ends that have multiple sacks. Garoppolo's kind of hit or miss. But, they're obviously playing good football. They're 3-0. But, unfortunately for the 49ers, the Browns are playing good football too. And I would definitely make the argument they're playing better football. And so, I made a bet with a guy in fantasy football. We're going to swap an 8th round pick for a 17th round pick for the winner of Monday Night Football. Browns or 49ers. I'm putting the Browns on my bets, you know, for money. I mean, across the board, I'm going Browns, and I'm not being a homer in this one. I mean, they are better, and they're going to prove that on Monday Night Football. So that's my two cents on that. So without further ado, my guest this week is Devin Walker. She is an all-star receiver for the Southern I just brain farted. Southern Oregon Lady Gades, which is a D3 team in the WFA. And so she came on, talked to me for almost an hour, not quite an hour, but I think it was about 55 minutes. But yeah, great interview. She's an awesome person. And so hopefully you guys enjoyed as much as I did. The only heads up I want to give you is my dog barked once. So bad Jackson. And towards the end of the interview, her voice kind of like went distant. I'm not sure if she was on speakerphone and held it away from her face or what. But I brought it up pretty quickly. And so the rest of the interview was fine. But yeah, here it is. Devin Walker from the Southern Oregon Lady Gades. And I'll come talk to you guys at the end. Thanks.
All right. So thank you for joining me. I have Devin Walker with me from the Southern Oregon Lady Gades. In my opinion, star wide receiver. Actually, the first player that's actually playing currently in women's tackle football. And so first of all, thank you for joining me, Devin. I know you're a busy, busy young lady.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So the way I usually format these interviews is I start with how we know each other. And so you were just joking about how bad your memory is. So when I was coaching my former team, that team was in the WFA, and I was selected to be the head coach of the All-Star game. I think it was called an All-American game. And so for basically the western side of the United States, I was the head coach in Pittsburgh that year, and so I did my best, you know, to try to kind of corral cats, you know, for an All-Star game. But that's how we met each other in person. I knew about you because I'm kind of a nerd when it comes to women's football, and so I had seen, like, your stats for the Lady Gades, and I was looking forward to coaching you. And then when I met you, I think highly of you in general, off the field and on the field. I think you're a quality person and an absolute baller when you're on the field. And so I'm glad we've been able to stay in touch over the years. And so, that's kind of how we know each other. So if you don't mind, what I like to start with my guests is kind of giving them some background. This is going to be educational for me too, because I don't know that much about you personally. I just know that you either are in the military or you were in the military from your Facebook. And then obviously I know kind of some of the stuff you've done on the field in football. But there's a lot more to you than just that. So if you don't mind, tell my listeners a little bit about you. Tell us, you know, where you're from, you know, where you went to school, maybe what sports you played when you were growing up, how you got into tackle football, and you know, what you do for work. I mean, you can tell us anything, but just give us some background on you.
Yeah, sure. Okay. So, born in North Carolina. Don't remember any of it because I was very little. Army parents, so we moved around pretty quickly after that. Mostly grew up in Washington. Went to the Yelm School District. And then played soccer since I was five up through college, which is where I kind of give credit to my receiving skills because I was a goalkeeper since the age of 10.
Oh, okay.
All the way up through college ball. played 4 years there at SOU, which is why I moved down to Southern Oregon and ended up playing for the Lady Gades. But growing up through school, I also did track events. A little bit of volleyball, a little bit of basketball. Was not a good shot, though, so don't ask me to play basketball. But
you can't be good at everything.
No, I'm definitely not good at basketball. But I was playing soccer after college, and then once that was done, I decided to stay in Southern Oregon. And I was actually working at Sports Authority at the time, and you know, tried to play rec soccer, and it just wasn't cutting it for me. The competitive level just wasn't really enough for me. Also, I kept getting kicked in the ankles, and it just wasn't a good time for me. So as I was working at Sports Authority, I was working the cash register, and Jerome and Coretta happened to come in looking for some football gear and came up to me, was kind of joking around, and then kind of ended the conversation with, hey, by the way, do you want to play women's tackle football? So I said, yeah, that sounds cool. And they said, okay, show up tomorrow at the U.S. Cellular Fields, bring your cleats if you got them, and we'll see you there at this time. And so I showed up the next day, and the rest is history. But
how long ago was that?
That was, when did the Lady Gates start? That was... This is where my bad memory comes into play.
Yeah.
Whenever our first year was, that's when it happened.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the Lady Gades have been around for at least 3 or 4 years, if not five. So, yeah, around probably that long. So the first year that they played was your first year, right?
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. So are you, you said you grew up with military parents. Are you in the military or?
I'm sorry, I forgot to mention that. Yeah, so I am. It actually will be 9 years tomorrow in the National Guard, the Army National Guard.
Oh, nice.
For Oregon. Yes.
Cool. Very cool. Mm-hmm. So you've been there for 9 years, which is hard to believe because you don't look like you're old enough to be in anything for 9 years. yeah, that's very cool. Yeah. So, you've been with the Lady Gades. You played with them every single year you played, right? Did they take a year off?
Yes, last season was our season off. Okay. And then we came back this last season, I guess.
Did you play last season at all, or you just took the year off?
I played every season. What are we, like three seasons in?
Yeah.
Two seasons in. So I've played all three of them. And then not this year, but the last year when the team didn't exist, I guess, for that season, I did not play.
Okay. So. Just showed out for a year?
Yeah. It was kind of crazy because I was actually going to take the season off anyway. And then, unfortunately, the team didn't happen. And so I guess I really didn't miss a season.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah, actually, now that I think about it, I'm not even sure if I really finished my thought when I was explaining how we know each other. So just for the listeners, you already know this, but when they selected me to be the head coach of the Western side of the United States for that All-American game, you were one of the many All-Stars on that team. And so, you know, that they kind of gave me the roster ahead of time. And so I tried to put a Facebook group together. And like I said, it's really hard with All-Star games to get people on the same page and put stuff out and try to execute in the game. But I did the best that I could. And so that's how we originally met. But, yeah, I mean, during that game, I'm not trying to, you know, Nikki blush or anything, but during that game and that whole process, you know, I really didn't know what to expect. I had been coaching for a few years, and I was a head coach for my team, but coaching an All-American game is like trying to herd cats. And so I didn't know what to expect, and I was doing the best that I could. But in that game, I was proud of, like, how we played because the West hadn't played very well in past years. And I feel like we played more competitively than past teams, and so I was proud of that. But as far as individual performances, there was one play that I'll never forget. Katie Sowers, who coaches for the San Francisco 49ers right now, threw you a pass. It was like maybe a fade or a go, and not only did you catch it, but you made like a diving catch past the defender, and it was sick. And so thank you for that, because you made me look good, you know, because I was the head coach at the time. But crazy catch. I know you're a phenomenal receiver. My next question for you would be, some of my best athletes that I've had in my coaching career have been soccer players, so it's not a surprise that that's your background. But I feel like since you are a great athlete, have you dabbled with anything else besides receiver, or have you just stuck to that position?
Before I get to that, I actually have two funny stories about that catch that you mentioned in Pittsburgh.
Okay, please do.
The first one is that I don't know if you can see it in the film, but before that catch, the announcer happened to be saying my name wrong, and my dad was there at the game. And so he actually walked from the opposite sides of the field to the announcer to correct him on my name. And right as you see him walking back to the other side, I made that catch. And so they got to say my name right after that.
When it counted,
exactly. And then second about that catch is that after that catch, right after that catch, I remember having this really great feeling of like, yeah, I did something memorable in this game.
Yeah.
But as I was thinking that, all I could hear was the song that was playing after that catch, which was, it was, "This Girl Is On Fire," you know? So I was like, yes. And so that's been like my song since. Which is
So that's your life anthem.
Yeah, basically. Anytime I like have a cool catch or anything like that, that's the song that I think of now. So yeah, it is a very, I have a terrible sense of memory, but I can remember that, and it's very vivid in my mind. I just thought that was very funny.
Yeah.
But you asked about any other positions. That's right. So I've been kind of kicking for the Lady Gates. Well, not kind of. I have been all last season. We didn't have our original kicker from the previous seasons, and so I filled that position. We also had Becca, who kind of kicked a little bit, too. I was playing a little bit more defense, like probably more the first two seasons, but this last season I kind of played with a little bit of safety, and I think that's it, actually. It was kind of nice because I didn't have to play as much defense this last season than I had in previous seasons, because we had more ladies and also more people who were versatile, so we got to interchange a little bit more frequently than we did in previous seasons. I guess mostly just kicker.
Gotcha. So were you kicking and punting, or just kicking?
Yeah, kicking and punting. Well, actually, I don't think I even punted this.
Really? Last.
If I did, it wasn't very much. I don't really remember any specific times where I remember punting.
Interesting. So does that mean that Gades don't punt, or they didn't have to punt, or...
I think
somebody else punted.
You know, I don't really remember. I think it was more so the situations we were in. I think we decided that we were just going to go for it and not actually punt. So I think that happened more often than not.
Gotcha. Okay. Fair enough. So you were the kicker, though. So you did kickoffs and field goals?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Gotcha. And how did that go? Did you do pretty good?
I kick differently. So I get a little bit of criticism or people trying to correct me on kicking, and it's really different because, you know, I'm a soccer player, and I kick the ball like a soccer player.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I've tried other ways, and it just doesn't seem to be working for me, so I just kind of
go back
stick
to what you
know. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly it. So, I mean, I'm sure, you know, if I worked a little bit more on it and, you know, got a little bit more technique work for, you know, the shape of a football, it might go a little bit farther. But
yeah.
For right now, yeah, it's okay.
Gotcha.
Always room for improvement.
For sure, yeah. If I was your coach, I think, honestly, I'd be more about just getting the job done. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care if you kick it with your heel. You know what I mean? Like, if it's going through the uprights or if it's getting, you know, decent distance for a kickoff. I mean, it's all about functionality, right? So,
right, yeah, absolutely.
I think sometimes coaches can be a little bit, you know, stubborn when it comes to doing things a traditional way. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. They want you to do it how they did it or do it how they were taught in college or something like that. But, you know, if it works.
The funny thing is, I guess it's not really my team who's been giving me the criticism. It's
everybody else.
Yeah, my team is super supportive of me.
Well, that's ironic then. Gotcha. Yeah. Perfect. Okay, so you've kicked and you played a little bit of defense. What have you played on defense?
I always mix up the positions, but I think it's the end. I did play like a little bit there, a little bit of corner a couple years ago, and then mm-hmm. safety mostly this season.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Do you prefer offense, though?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
I mean, that's kind of an obvious question, but I was going to ask it anyways.
I do love playing defense in the sense that it's a different challenge, you know?
Yeah.
And I love different challenges. So, of course, when I'm feeling really good that game, I feel like I'm, you know, I got a lot more energy than, mm-hmm. you know, I'll talk to the coach, say, hey, you know, I'm down to play anything on defense if you want me to.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay. So, as I said, you are a superstar wide receiver, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I wish, I mean, if we were in the NFL, you know, I would try to trade for you, just for the record. we're not in the NFL, so I can't. And so it is what it is. But you played mostly receiver. This year did a little bit of kicking, played on defense. So tell me next, your playing experience besides the Lady Gates. So as we know, you played on the All-American team when I was head coach, which was lucky me. But besides that, what else have you played in? Because, I mean, you've been an all-star every season you've played, and so I'm sure you've been invited to a lot of stuff, but I'm not sure what all you've actually went to. So fill me in.
Besides the game just in Colorado, that's it, just those two All-American games.
Okay, just those two?
Mm-hmm.
And so...
I'm sorry. I did go to the World Games the USA, the U.S. team.
Okay.
That was a couple of years back.
Yeah.
I did go to that. That's it.
Okay. So those three times.
Yes.
So I'm not going to make fun of your memory.
Thanks.
But my next question would be, if you don't mind, how would you compare those different experiences? How would you compare the first All-American game to the second All-American game to Team USA? Like, I'm sure they were all completely different, but what differences did you notice, or were they all kind of, like, cool in different ways?
They were definitely all cool in different ways because, for one, they were all in different locations.
Yeah.
I was at. So Pittsburgh and then, you know, Colorado and Florida. So that was all really awesome to be able to travel to play football.
Yeah. Which was really cool.
But different temperatures. I noticed that, just the climate was different. My mouth guard actually melted to the turf a little bit in Colorado. I don't know if it was just like the way that I placed my helmet on the ground or something like that, or maybe it was because I had a different mouth guard this last season. I don't know what it was, but that was new. I've never had my mouth guard melt before, which kind of sucked because it was right before the game. And so I remember trying to pick out all of the turf and then trying to rinse it off, but make it hot enough so I can try to remold it to my mouth before the game. That was a mess, but it ended up working out. Let's see, Florida was different because, you know, in Pittsburgh, I had, four other Lady Gays with me. Yeah. In Florida, I only had Jenny, and then with the World Games, I think I had, I guess Florida was the World Games. So Jenny there, and then Colorado is just me. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of different kind of scene and, trying to, you know, talk and meet new people. Yeah, exactly. I'm not a huge social butterfly.
I can remember that about you. Yeah,
I'm definitely an introvert, but it was definitely an experience going to Colorado and then not really having anybody there with me. So that was definitely a big experience for me.
So would you say that sucked, or it was good because it forced you to get out of your shell, or how was that for you because you are introverted?
I wouldn't say it sucked because I actually do have a friend who lived in Colorado, which I got to stay with her and kind of she took me to go see some different sites, which was awesome. And then my dad ended up going again.
Okay.
My dad worked for Alaska Airlines, so that's why he's showing up to all of these places.
Yeah, yeah.
But, which made it really nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I didn't feel like I was lonely or, you know, that I had to just throw myself out there. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I had people there with me in a little support group. But it felt weird going to the field by myself and then not knowing anybody to even start socializing with, because even in the Pittsburgh game, I don't think I really met anybody before that was also playing in the Colorado game.
Oh, really?
So then it was like meeting all new people. I didn't know anybody there.
Oh, good to see you again.
There was none of that. Not at all.
Man.
There was one who I was like, I feel like I know you from somewhere. And she's like, no, you don't know me. I'm like, oh, okay.
Okay, good talk. See ya.
Yeah. Okay, nevermind. Sorry.
That's hilarious, actually. Okay, fair enough. So, Colorado, you were solo. You had a friend and your dad coming out. Pittsburgh, you had three or four teammates come with you. And then for the other one, you just had Jenny. Mm-hmm. But you said they were all cool in different ways, obviously different locations, and all good experiences. But you said the coolest thing is just being able to travel to different places and play football, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I actually didn't pack well for this last trip, so I ended up having to carry my helmet around everywhere with me. And so it was it ended up kind of feeling weird, but also really awesome to be, you know, like traveling through the airport with my helmet and like people looking and like some people asking or running into other football players. And so that was really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is cool. It's funny because like you didn't do it on purpose, but it was just like poor planning. And then just little stuff like that, you know, just exposure, like people seeing something and doing double takes, like, oh, that's definitely a girl.
Mm-hmm.
She's definitely carrying a football helmet, and that's definitely not somebody else's football helmet. And so just like basic stuff like that is kind of one of the reasons that I started my podcast, because I'm obsessed with football in every sense of the word. But I think that the fact that women's football doesn't have as much exposure, you know, as men's football is really a shame. And so, you know, the podcast kind of part of that, part of my mission statement is just to talk football, but especially, you know, promote women's football and increase exposure for the sport. And so, you know, just kind of doing my part, you know, to get the word out there, because, you know, if people just go to watch a game, that's literally all it takes. You know what I mean? Like you might think something or assume something about women's football, but until you actually go watch it for yourself, you know, you shouldn't have any preconceived notions, because I know I didn't know what to expect when I first started coaching, but I was blown away, you know, by the talent that I saw at the first tryout, and I've been hooked ever since. So
thank you for what you do. And I have the same feeling. I'm like, okay, I don't know what I'm getting myself into, but here we go.
Yeah. And away we go. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's very cool. So you played about 3 years for the Lady Gays, and then you went to three separate away trips, which were all cool in different ways. You said you've been in the military for 9 years. So I was in the Navy for 4 years in Virginia. So tell me how, like, your military service works. Like, you know what I mean? Like, how often you have to go to stuff, or, like, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, so I'm not really familiar with that branch. So educate me a little bit.
Yeah, sure. Thank you for your service, by the way. So for the Army National Guard, we do 1 week in a month, and then 2-3-ish weeks in the summer, which is our annual training. Usually we go out into the field. Well, for my job, we go out into the field. You know, it depends on where we're going, but usually hot, dry, and like desert-like. For those 2 to 3 weeks, usually. And then, you know, deployment, if it comes around. So we're on, I think it's like an 8-year cycle. So we train up for 8 years. If we get deployed, we get deployed. If not, then we just do the recycle again. But that's basically what our year looks like.
Okay. So you said it's 1 weekend a month. And then what is it in the summer?
It's our annual training. So we do, it's about 2 to 3 weeks of just straight training in our field of work, I suppose.
Yeah, and where are you going for that? Like, is it relatively close to where you live? Or?
No. No. I mean, it's on the West Coast, so yeah, in that sense, yes. But, I mean, we go up to Idaho, we go down to Southern California, we go different places in Oregon, and sometimes in Washington.
Oh, so every time you report, it's somewhere different?
Sometimes it's repeat.
Okay.
But, yeah, there is a good handful of different locations that we can go.
Interesting. Okay. So I don't mean to bore you, but since I'm literally oblivious to that branch, so I understand, like, the concept of 1 weekend per month and then a few weeks during the summer, as far as that time commitment, and you said that you go to different locations. They're all West Coast, but they're kind of all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
But the last question for that before we can move on is, like, what do you do as far as, like, for your job? You know what I mean? Like, what, when you say you're going to training, like, what is the thing that you do, you specialize in?
We do a little bit of everything, but my job specifically is, I'm a truck driver, so I drive, like, the big military trucks, the Humvees, what, you know, things that you see on the road, kind of, anything like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. I wouldn't have
guessed. Transport equipment, things like that. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that. Okay, I'm glad I asked.
Yeah. It was really funny when I was 18 years old driving these big trucks down the road, and little old me, like a female, you know, people do double takes all the time. I'm like, please don't run over me. I'm like, I promise you I won't.
That's good stuff. Okay. All right, so I'm glad you answered that, because I have a better grasp on, you know, the time commitment and what they do, and kind of, because before this interview, I would have guessed you guys do 1 weekend per month and 2 or 3 weeks during the summer, but I also would have assumed that it's always at the same place, which is, you know, somewhere in your area, like not too far. And, you know, what you do for those weekends or those weeks, you know, I have no idea. I'd be guessing. So I'm glad you educated me a little bit. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So I guess the last question I have for you is, well, it's two parts. So this season, I wanted to ask you a very specific question about this season, because I have an opinion about how the season went, but then also the future. And so the question I want to bring up to you is, this season, you know, my team, the Denver Bandits, were in the WNFC, and since I am a nerd when it comes to football, I try to keep up, you know what I'm saying, with the WFA and other teams. And you know, it's cool to kind of follow players like you that I've actually coached personally. You know what I mean? Just to, you know, follow you support you as a player, and, you know, see how you're doing. Stuff like that. So since I am a nerd, and I always keep up with, you know, mainly those two leagues, because those are the two prominent leagues in America. In the WFA, once the season was over, and they, as you know, they have, like, the day where they announce, you know, who's in the playoffs and stuff like that. They announced that. And then during the WNFC season, I had been pretty busy I was the OC of my team, and so I was pretty busy with my team, and I didn't have a lot of time to, like, nerd out too much and look up, you know, details about who's beating who and stuff like that. But when they announced the playoffs, I noticed a few teams that didn't make it, and I was like, so that either means one of two things. It either means that they had a down year, you know, and they just, you know, weren't as good as they usually are, or they were as good as they usually are, and the playoff system kind of didn't do them justice. So I did my homework, and I nerded out, and my conclusion was that there was three teams from the WSA playoff system that got screwed, and one of those teams was the Lady Gates. So when I kind of crunched the numbers and you know, saw what different teams' records were and who they played and, you know, what the scores were and all that stuff like that, there's really no logical reason that you guys weren't in over some of the other D3 teams that got in. So I know you're a very polite person, so I don't expect you to give me a viral response. But you give me your Devin response to you guys missing the playoffs this year, even though I say you deserved it. But what is your two cents?
Very sensitive subject. We did kind of fight that a little bit at the end. Lots of questions were asked and answers were given.
You can speak freely, Devin.
Yeah, I don't want to overstep anything, but those answers that were given didn't really fulfill our
curiosity.
Because the things that we were told and the things that we, like, understood before the season or during the season was different than, you know, what happened at the end of the season. And I don't know where the communication kind of failed us. Yeah, but we, you know, at the end of it, you know, it is a sensitive subject. And, you know, if you talk to any of the Lady Gates, they're not going to be very happy to talk about it. But
yeah.
A lot of things were learned and a lot of questions did come up and were written down for the next season. That way we don't run into the same issues that we had at the end of this season.
Yeah. Gotcha.
I mean, that's about as much as I can really say about it. We really did push it because we also didn't feel like
you should have been left out.
Well, not necessarily that, but I mean, like, because if the numbers came down to it, then that's what it came down to, right? But the way that we were calculating numbers and the way that we saw it wasn't the same way, I guess, that everybody else was seeing. I don't really know what happened, the calculations and this and that, but
honestly,
I think it came down to like 1 point or something like that, if I remember correctly, but you know my memory.
Yeah.
So yeah, and it really could have swung like either way with, you know, like 1 point and or like a few points. I don't remember what it really was, but
I got you.
Yeah, I mean, we did push as much as we could, and you know, when things weren't budging, and you know, with the time it was taking to try to figure things out, we figured, you know, even if there was a mistake or if something were to be fixed, it wasn't going to be fixed because it had already been, you know, announced and all of the things were starting to get planned. And
yeah, it was already in motion for those teams.
Exactly. It would have been way harder to switch out a team than it was to just, you know, follow through with what was already said kind of thing. So
I got you.
Yeah, we're just moving forward and we're excited for next season and to see what happens.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah, so when I did my little nerd out session, I mean, you could make the argument that I'm a little bit biased because, you know, I had some Lady Gades on that team that I coached. And so since I know you guys personally, of course, I'm rooting for you guys. But, you know, when it comes to, you know, me making predictions about games and scores and me, you know, crunching numbers and trying to come up with power rankings in my head, all that stuff is, you know, unless there's a team that's, like, done something to me personally, you know what I mean? Like, they've literally, like, done something immoral to me. There's no reason for me to, like, you know, have it out for anybody, you know, or try to know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a very fair person. And my point is that when I did that little study session, it didn't make any sense that you guys weren't in. And like, when I saw the teams that did get in, like it didn't add up. And so I know that the Massey system is what the WFA uses. And I know that it's strictly based on, you know, analytics and math. And so you mm-hmm. can't be mad at math, but at the same time, you know, in this instance, it failed. Like, the system failed. And so, you know, what makes me mad as a female football fan is, you know, in the playoffs, no matter what league you're in, the best teams should get in, right? Like, you want to see the best teams battling it out in the playoffs to see who's the best of that division, especially in the WFA, because they have different divisions. So if that's the case, and three teams got screwed out of it, right? Then, like, you're taking away experiences for that team. Like, you're taking away, like, you know, these players having that playoff experience, or those players having a good season and playing, beating some teams they shouldn't have beat, or playing a Division I team and giving them, you know, everything they could handle, or, you know, whatever the resume is.
Mm-hmm.
You're putting all that together and saying that's not enough to get in the playoffs. Like, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't add up to me, and that's not me speaking from a biased standpoint. It's just, I'm a football fan. I'm very realistic. And so for you to take that, you know, opportunity away from the women and the coaches that put that season together and replace them with teams that aren't as, you know, worthy, in my opinion, it's just kind of hard to swallow. And so I know I'm, you know, preaching to the choir because you guys lived it, but, you know, I just, you're on my list of one of the interviews to do in my first 2 months, and because I wanted to talk to some of these teams, you know, that are in the WFA and do deal with Massey, you know, and the different mm-hmm. divisions, and it's not a perfect system, and so some teams get screwed. And since I actually know some of the Lady Gays, I'm like, well, you know, if Devin has some time, we can talk about it and see what she thinks. You know, maybe she was annoyed, but she's over it now, or maybe it's still. It's so sensitive. we'll see, but yeah. But I wanted to at least touch on it. You know what I mean? Because it is reality. You know, it happened, and it's unfortunate. But you guys are obviously moving on. So, I guess my next question would be: you, like, my team is in the WNFC, the Denver Bandits, which is a first-year team. How much do you know about the WNFC? Like, are you pretty well informed about them, or you don't really know much about that league?
The thing that I'm really not proud about, that I'm about to admit right now, is that I am really bad at playing sports. I know it sounds really
This is where she's talking at a distance.
You're bad at what?
I'm really bad at following sports. And like,
following sports?
Yeah, it you know, following me through, you know, playing sports.
I had to bring her back to us.
It sounds like your voice is at distance now.
Attaboy.
I haven't moved. I don't know what happened.
Yeah. Now it's normal. Thank you.
It's fine now? Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't moved, I promise.
Troubleshooting.
You said you're not good at following sports.
Correct. So even, like, growing up, I'm all about watching sports live or, like, right in front of me. Like, I'm there and in it, you know, kind of thing. But I don't watch TV. I don't really watch movies. I try to stay off of internet, you know, I really try to stay away from technology, which is kind of funny because I work in IT.
So I know.
I'm a weird individual, I guess, but
You're different.
Yeah, I don't really follow sports, and which includes football, unfortunately. So I don't really know about it, like, at all, really, to be honest.
So you've heard of it, but you just don't know much about it. Right?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. That's fair. So two things. I was going to ask you one more question, but what you just said makes me ask more questions. the first thing is, I'm not going to, you know, like, lecture you about the WNFC, but just a quick tidbit, just to give you, like, a glimpse of what that league's about. They just were created last year, and it was created by people that were mostly in the IWFL before, and they weren't really happy with how that IWFL was doing business. And so they took it upon themselves to literally create a new league, and the people that were involved were, like, game-changing people, you know, the kind of like get shit done type of people. Mm-hmm. And so they literally within 1 year, Devin, were not only able to create a league that started off with about 16 teams and has about 20 for the next season, but they also were able to secure a sponsorship with Adidas, mm-hmm. a sponsorship with Rydell. They were able to pay players, I think it was like $200 or $250 cash for player of the week. And so just their whole, like, you know, their vision for women's football, right? It's just basically mm-hmm. that what women's football is and has been isn't enough, and it can be better. And their vision is for it to be a professional sport and for players to eventually get paid and coaches to get paid and for the visibility of the sport to be on a grand scale. And so they did a lot of cool things. They just signed a TV deal with a, I think it's called, the network's called U2. So they're actually going to have like games on TV. And so there's a lot of cool things happening. This is kind of a glimpse. I don't want to bore you with the details, but it's pretty cool.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah. It's all good stuff. And so I'm super stoked to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the league that I'm involved with now. But the second thing I was going to ask you about is your aversion to technology, which is hilarious. So I can vouch for that, first of all, because sending you a Facebook message is kind of like getting on a horseback and going on a, you know, riding a horse to Washington to get your message. So that was brutal. But we got it done. The interview's happening, so it's all good. I think that's kind of intriguing to me. Since I did meet you, like I said earlier, when I said, you know, I think the world of you off the field and on the field, I mean that, like, you know, I didn't spend a lot of time with you, but I can tell I'm a good judge of character, and I can tell by the very little time I spent with you that you're a good person, you're a quality teammate, you're a good human being, you have a healthy respect for the military, you know, a lot of things that I can vibe with. And so since you are that way, but you are a little bit different, like you're a little bit of a nonconformist. You said you're an introvert, and you don't really prescribe to the social media that everybody's addicted to these days.
Yeah.
My question would be, what would you attribute that to? Like, why do you think, you know, that you don't really feel the need to partake in stuff like that? Because I'm curious.
That is a really good question. You know, I think it's mostly, I hate to say it, but, you know, there's a lot of really disrespectful people and people who just really don't care for others or, you know, the environment or anything but themselves kind of thing, you know? I stay in contact with the people who have similar views with me, and I'm not the type of person to change myself to make others happy in the sense that, you know, if I don't believe the same, not necessarily, I don't like try to, you know, change other people to think the way that I do.
No,
but
if
we just don't work out, you know, if we clash a little bit, there's, I just don't see a reason why to keep toxic people around. And unfortunately, it seems that there are more toxic people than people that are, you know, really trying to do better and good for other people and things around them, you know, their surroundings, instead of just what's good for them, you know, in the moment and so on and so forth. But
self-serving stuff.
Exactly. I gotcha. Yeah.
So, I knew there's a reason I liked you, Devin. So that's the perfect segue. So let me educate you on one more thing. So I started my podcast in September, and so I do, you know, I air them on Fridays. I have one guest per episode, and so they went pretty well. But I have this other idea that's going to be happening probably the end of this year, maybe next year, and that's this thing called The Summit. What The Summit is exactly what you were speaking to. The Summit is an intentional meeting of two people of opposing viewpoints, right? but it's not what people would assume. It's not like Jerry Springer. It's the complete opposite. So like you said, on social media, unfortunately, the world that we live in is very toxic, you know, and negativity is what people want to look at, and that's what they kind of live in. And when it comes to politics or whatever it is, you know, people just trade barbs, right, and trade these, you know, hateful messages, and it's all passive aggressive and keyboard warriors, mm-hmm. with no consequences, right? And right. So I think that's very lame, and it's very spineless. And so, that bothers me the same way it bothers you, right? Mm-hmm. So, my podcast, part of that mission is to increase exposure for women's tackle football. The summit is completely different. What that's going to be is it's going to be two people from opposing viewpoints that I recruit, and they're going to literally come to a public place. I'm going to be the mediator. They're going to have to sit down, you know, meet each other. It's going to be very structured. I'm going to give them ground rules. You know, like mm-hmm. examples would be, you know, you can curse, but you can't curse at them, right? You can say F that, but you can't say F you, right? There's a difference.
That makes sense. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So ground rules like that, you can't interrupt the person, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So we're not going to have people talking over each other. And so when somebody else is talking, you're going to respect that and listen to them until they're done. And so basic ground rules. And then once we get into it, all we're going to do is just give both people is going to give their backgrounds, you know, where they're from, how they were raised, maybe the things that contributed to the views that they have currently, right? Mm-hmm. Then after that, we're going to have 7 talking points where each person gets 10 minutes to talk. As you know, it could be the first question, you know, could be about whatever, global warming, and that person will be able to talk for 10 minutes. Well, here's the catch. When you break one of my rules, you get 1 minute reduced from your talking time. So if you're an idiot that can't shut up and keeps on talking over the other person, uh-huh. you might end up with 2 minutes at the end, right? Uh-huh. And so it's on you. You know, you burn your own bridge. And so my whole idea of the summit is exactly what you were saying. I'm so tired of the toxic people and just the culture that we live in and how people are so hateful and so divisive. And so this is my attempt, and it is an attempt. I'm not sure how it's going to go, but it's my attempt to do my part of talking the way people should talk. You know, sitting in front of somebody face-to-face, having an intelligent conversation, having a respectful conversation. We don't need to agree, right? It's okay to disagree. We're not going to agree on everything. But there's a way to talk to people, right? You don't need to... Just because you disagree with somebody's opinion doesn't mean that they're a bad person or that, you know, they're a, you know, POS. Like, it's just, it's not the case. And so that's going to be the whole premise of it. Just people talking the way they should talk, being respectful to each other, and seeing if we can find the middle ground. And so that's my second project. And so since you just told me kind of why you don't do social media, I think right. you might appreciate that that plan.
Yeah, and it's not like I don't try talking to people, you know, about strong beliefs and values and things of that sort.
Yeah,
it's more so that I tend to come across more people who are closed-minded, you know, and just sort of stuck in their ways that there's really no conversation with them.
Exactly.
So yeah, I hope you don't run into that issue and just have, you know, people going around in circles about the, you know, repeating themselves over and over again when... you know, the person on the receiving end isn't actually receiving, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it could be one of the challenges for sure. But, yeah, just, you know, me trying to do my part of kind of just creating a better space, you know, to communicate, you know, because just to give you an idea of, like, what I'm aiming for, my first ever summit is going to be pro-Trump versus anti-Trump, right? So Trump... Yeah, so I have no fear, Devin. I'm living that YOLO life. So yeah, so you know, like I know that a lot of people hate Trump. I had actually an experience for myself where I posted something positive about Trump on Facebook, and you would have thought that I was the Antichrist. You know, people were unfriending me and, you know, calling me names and stuff like that, and I was like, whoa, what the heck? And so. Pro-Trump versus anti-Trump is my first one, so I want to start off with a bang. And then I also have some other ones in mind, like you know, trans athletes inclusion versus trans athletes exclusion. There's women's tackle football versus lingerie football. You know, Christians versus a Christian versus an atheist. You know, just like pretty much anything you can think of, anything that would really divide people. You know what I mean? Like it could be somebody kneeling during the national anthem, you know, versus you shouldn't kneel. Like all those hot topics that people, that divide people, that's what I'm going to go after. I'm going to intentionally have those two sides get down and talk to each other in a civil manner and see if we can find the middle ground. You know what I mean? And
so are you going to find people who, like, are you going to talk to these people before you get them together to see that they're very strong one-sided and then put them in front of each other?
Yeah, good question. Okay. So I have a website called tltalks.com with talks with a Z. It has an application on there. It's called a summit application. Mm-hmm. So when people fill out the application and hit submit, it goes to my email. And then when I get the applications, I can kind of like, you know, vet them myself and then either call them or meet with them in person for an interview. And then that's kind of my chance to, you know, feel them out. You know what I mean? Like, am I inviting this guy that's going to shoot up the place, you know, or, you know, are they reasonably level-headed? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be kind of on me to make sure that I get some good candidates. But
good call.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, I'm a very, very thoughtful person, so I try to have my ducks in a row. But yeah, that's my plan. I'm not sure when it's going to happen because I've had a hard time recruiting for it because Facebook, like, won't let me boost it with money to get more exposure. Mm-hmm. And so that might be because it's Trump. I'm trying to figure out a way around that, but I'm excited for it. You know, it's going to happen eventually. It's just a matter of figuring out how to recruit for it. But I think it could have a really, you know, good positive impact on people. And so if it does that, then my job's done. You know what I'm saying?
I hope you, whenever it happens, I hope you send me a link or something so I can go directly to it and I'll actually see it. Otherwise, I'll probably forget about it or I just won't see it because I won't be on social media.
Yeah. Well, now that I have your cell number, I can just send you a link, like a text link, and then I won't have to worry about you, like, checking your Facebook messages in 2022 or something. You know what I'm saying?
That's a possibility,
yeah. Yeah, that's fair. All right, so last question. I don't want to take too much of your time. Last question is future. So we know that Lady Gaze have had really solid football all 3 or 4 years of their existence. Small team, but really solid team ever since you guys started. This last year, unfortunately, you guys kind of got gypped out of the playoffs, but I already talked about that. It is what it is. We're moving on. But for the future, what do you foresee for the Lady Gaze? Do you see kind of more of the same as far as team size and talent and, you know, record results? Or do you see, you know what I mean, like how, maybe it's a little bit too early to say, but what do you see as the future for your team from your standpoint?
Personally, I try not to think too much about it just because I am the type of person who I don't like to have this set image in my mind about it because, you know, I don't want it to be wrong. And then, you know, it's kind of a letdown at that point.
Yeah,
but the only thing that I really hope for our team is that we continuously grow, which we have been. This team was different than our previous team. And we slowly but surely start earlier in our recruiting and, you know, trying to get more people to know about us and, you know, come and check us out, come hang out with us. We don't really have, like, a lot of team events that happen before season.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to be trying to work on that and just, you know, really trying to build towards a team that's year-round, you know. And
yeah,
we haven't, like, had that in previous seasons. We kind of all go our own ways at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, but I mean, we all do have our own lives, which I can understand, but I would like it where I'm kind of getting cold, so I'm shivering, but I'm sitting in my truck, but no worries. It's just cold in Ashland right now, but I would really like to build towards a team that, you know, is all year round. We're constantly recruiting. We're constantly improving ourselves as well as each other and just really building as a team. Mm-hmm. That way we're not worried about numbers the next year and wondering if we're going to have a team or not. And just really build the foundation for incoming people and just internet.
Gotcha.
That's the biggest thing that I can really hope for and actually look forward to in the future.
Yeah, so what were your numbers this year? Last question. How many players did you have?
I think we had 21, I want to say.
Okay.
I think
21,
but I think that kind of
dwindled
a little bit even.
Yeah, maybe like more like 18 or something once the season ended.
Yeah, so probably want between 18 and 21, something
like that. Gotcha. Yeah, if you can get the mid-20s, you know, or closer to 30, you know, it's just a lot easier to get through a whole season. It's a lot easier to have depth, you know, when injuries happen. You know, obviously this is common sense stuff, but... I don't see why you guys can't do it. I mean, you guys have a solid team. I don't know much about your coaching staff, but I know that you guys have, you know, won more games than you've lost. And, you know, I think you're definitely one of the best D3 teams in the WFA. And so for women that are in that area, I don't really see why they wouldn't want to play, you know, if they're open to it.
Yeah, no, I think it's just most of them living up there.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I know you're cold in your truck, so I'll let you go. But I really appreciate your time. I know you're not on social media much, and so I love that you're different. But I'm definitely going to stay in touch with you over the years. I might even have you on next year, you know, after the next season. And so we can make kind of a, you know, tradition. But, yeah, I appreciate your time. It's great to talk to you again. And I'll definitely stay in touch. All right, have a good night.
Thank you.
I'll see you then. Bye.
And there you have it. Devin Walker, awesome human and wide receiver for the Southern Oregon Lady Gades. I don't know about you guys, but I really enjoyed the interview. Like I said, she's a very different person, you know, because she's, you know, not introspective. I'm not thinking straight. So the opposite of extrovert is introvert. Yeah, introvert. So she's an introvert. She doesn't really do social media. She doesn't watch TV or movies. And so totally different from me. But I can also appreciate some of those things for sure. You know, I can definitely empathize with her views on social media and why she would prefer not to partake. And so she's... really awesome person. So I really enjoyed the interview. I was able to learn some stuff about, you know, the National Guard that I didn't know. A little bit more about her and some of her playing experience. And then we got to, you know, just talk about some random stuff, you know, with the summit and, you know, just life. So really cool. But anyways, yeah, that's all I got for this week. So hopefully you guys enjoyed it. I know I rambled a little bit on the thought of the day, but... it's all good. I definitely rambled on the Browns, but I mean, the Browns whooped the Ravens' ass. So, and we're in first place now. So I think that was justified. Ohio State was pretty quick to cover because they dominated. So it, you know, copy and paste there. And then hopefully you guys appreciate the fantasy advice because that is a little bit time consuming to go through all the stats every week and pluck out those guys on the waiver wire. So yeah, hopefully that helped out. But yeah, always a pleasure to talk to you guys. I'll talk to you guys next week. And so thanks for joining me, and I hope you guys have a great weekend. See ya. Bye.